you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, we got a great one. It is Josh Potter coming on the show. Really fun guy, really fun episode. We do it live every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Listen to us anywhere and everywhere. That's really all I care about. But if you want to subscribe, could have heard this episode 5 days earlier, commercial free at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR and get 20% off on a 7-day free trial. And for the first time in what seems like forever, we have added a new t-shirt available at podcastmerch.com/SDR. It's a really cool one. It looks like an old school cassette tape. Like if you used to make a mixtape for someone and it says sex, drugs, and rock roll is the mix. It's a really cool shirt. I'm a big fan of it. I myself will be wearing one soon and you can too by going to podcastmerch.com/SDR and you'll see that shirt also available as a hoodie. I don't think it's going to be there forever. It's like going to be there for a month or two. I'm not really privy to this. You think I would know because I own the goddamn company, but I don't get my hands into everything. I try to not micromanage people, but what I would say is it's a very cool shirt. Just go to podcastmerch.com. It's right on the front page or podcastmerch.com/SDR and support us by sporting the colors of the SDR show. And here it is right now, the Josh Potter episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me once again, one of my all-time favorite co-hosts.
Oh.
It is James Madden. How are you, buddy?
Well, man, I don't think you've had that many co-hosts.
So I've had about four or five. I think five is probably fair in total.
So if you do all time,
you're in my top five.
Even the worst is in the top five.
Yeah,
even
you're in
the
my
worst
top five.
Makes the playoffs.
Is that about right, Shannon? You think five or maybe more than five?
So Don Jameson, Gino, Bill Schultz are the
Dave Landau.
Yeah. And then we've had Mike Cannon a few times. That's five.
And then Zach
a few times. So that's like seven.
Seven. So I put you in the top five, James. That's pretty good.
I mean, Jesus Christ. That still ain't. I mean, that's like making the playoffs in the goddamn hockey. I mean, what are you doing?
Oh, by the way, speaking of our guest, by the way, is almost as or if not more into sports as much as you are, James. And it always makes me laugh how quickly I glaze over things when sports comes into play. I know fucking nothing. But let's introduce him right now. He's a comedian, host of the Josh Potter Show, which comes out every Tuesday. And I believe you work on the Your Mom's House podcast to some capacity. You did for a while.
I don't anymore, yeah, but I did, yeah.
And it is Josh Potter. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start this. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I feel like I need to bring it up again. I fucked up my back really bad, and I am on some sort of muscle relaxant, which don't do any drugs at all, ever. I have to look up the name because I texted it to Shannon last night where I was like reluctant to take it. So I wanted to check.
Can we play guess the drug you're on?
You can, but I will say this before I won't say the name, but I Googled the name to see is it addictive or anything like that, because I'm a real puss and I'm afraid of taking any drugs or whatever. It's a great name for the show for someone like me, but the first thing that came out besides the name of the drug was Is Awesome, which gives me
awesome.
A pause. And then the second one was recreational use. So I'm like, okay, so this one is used very often for people who want to enjoy themselves. They gave me a shit ton and I'm trying not to take too many. I've taken, this is my fourth one I took about an hour ago.
In their muscle relaxers.
Their muscle relaxers.
It's not Klonopin.
No, I could tell you the first letter. Would that help?
Yes.
It's a B.
Oh shoot! I know this one. Oh my god!
Can I just say while he's thinking about this, you are worried about getting addicted to pain pills, muscle relaxers to get you through the day. You've done cocaine on the air on your fucking birthday on this show.
Yeah, but that was a one-off thing.
A one-off. That's one of the most addictive drugs in the goddamn world.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
People every week are like, things are good. And then those 10 years, I don't remember from the blow. Yeah. And you're like, let's try that. But I'm scared to take blah, blah, blin.
Well, you hear like Big Jay, who co-hosts the show with me normally, Josh, was the guy who said that the one time he was like, oh, this could be difficult, was he did some muscle relaxer thing. I don't know which one it was, but
pain pill. It was Vicodin or Percocet. Vicodin.
Yeah, those ones are the ones I've dabbled with myself. I had a bit of a Percocet issue in the past, but I'm trying to think of the B one. There was one B one, but I think that's like for a dog. I used to take like dog Percocets.
That's legit. That's really hardcore, fun. Sir.
It's yeah.
Which is funny because I hurt my back and it's called Baclofen. Baclofen.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that one actually.
Baclofen, Baclofen, and apparently it's awesome.
There's a dog Percocet it's not actually that hardcore. It's mild, so it's actually like less than a regular Percocet. But I was calling them Doge pills for a little while. You know, that's with terrific. The coins.
Yeah, the coin. I was thinking Pupacet was the stupid idea I thought right there. But it's a pretty horrible.
But they
idea.
Started with the B too, and that was a big craze for a little while. Because even if that had fentanyl in it, you're like, well, how much could it have if it's for a dog?
I'm on
the Loratabs. I used to like Loratabs. We used to put them in the blender, make milkshakes with Loratabs. I mean, the early 2000s.
What the fuck is a
Loratab?
I've never even heard of that. What is it?
There was white ones and blue ones, and the blue ones. Guess what they were? They were a fucking good time, Sally B. They were a good time.
Because I'm such a puss. I don't do, you know, normally if I have a drink a week, it's a lot. I just don't do a lot because I'm a puss. But so this, they give me 5 grams. They say like the dose where you're really supposed to feel it is 10 grams. Mm-hmm. But they probably gave me, I'm guessing, which seems insane to me, like 50 pills.
Wow.
A lot of fucking pills.
You're a big dude.
I know. But and I do feel it. Like I took an hour ago and immediately, like if I look at my hand, it's like moving in slow motion-y a little bit, you know, and my back is not killing me. That's when I know, oh, this is working. It's
I'm starting
weird.
To get jealous.
Hey, well, if you want 48 of them, I got them here right now that I'm probably not going to take.
Ralph, just on this very popular podcast, just goes that he's holding. Good show.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I, you know, in this, so we had, I say this all the time, so I apologize to listeners, but I try a drug a year, which James has said, I've never done a drug in my life. But in my house, to the cops listening, I have cocaine, I have Molly, I have, I don't know if I have the GHB, but I have tons of weed and I have mushrooms. They're just sitting here because we bought enough to do it on the show and a little extra. And I just keep it here. And I've never even thought about, oh, I really could use some cocaine right now. And it's just sitting in a fucking closet.
I have
and
the GHB in my cabinet,
oh,
by the way.
GHB, yeah.
You don't hear that from a female too often. Yeah, right. GHB in my cabinet.
In case some guys come over later, she's got the GHB ready to go.
Out of all the drugs you've tried, has any had an adverse effect on you to the point where you want to do it again or you'll never do it again?
The only one that I said, oh, I kind of get this, was the Molly. The second time, the first time it wasn't Molly, there was debate if it was crystal meth or there was something in it that shouldn't have been there because we all stayed up for 3 days. But the second time I was like, oh, I get this. This is somewhat enjoyable. But the aftermath, the 2 days after, were fucking horrible. So that's
why you had the big depression.
Yeah. I went out and bought a fucking PlayStation and try to feel better about myself. And so to me, it's not fucking worth it. It's not, I'm happy enough normally, which I guess is why I don't do drugs. And I know people hate hearing that I'm actually content in my life, but maybe that's why I don't do well with drugs. I don't fucking know. I don't
know. High on life, baby. Yeah, just like they taught us in eighth grade.
I mean, the Molly is one that definitely, like, you know, you take it and you have the big high and you're just like, you're humping your couch, you're making out with your lamp. I mean, it is. But then, yeah, the depression afterwards is immense.
It's really wild. It's wild. Yeah. So, by the way, you know, I try to do research as much as I can. My brain has not been fully operating the last couple of days. But what's funny is James does shows with me. This obviously is a pre-recorded show. The ones in the studio are generally live, but we're doing two today. And in 2 hours from now, we're interviewing a dude named Wheeler Walker Jr., right?
Oh, yeah, he's a familiar.
Country star. And what's so weird is as I was researching him on two different shows, one was Your Mom's House, I think you were there, and one was on Bert Kreischer's show, right? Both times, when a song that he did that came out about giving blowjobs, they said, oh, we should talk to Josh Potter about this.
Huh. So I wonder, I mean, other than him being at Your Mom's House while I worked there, I don't know what the connection would be.
I don't know, but literally both times he was going to do a song live and the song was something about either one, he has a song called like, which one of you queers is going to give me a blowjob or something like that. And I don't know, forget the name of this, the other song, but each on two different shows, maybe a year apart, your name came up. And I'm like, well, that's fucking weird. I'm interviewing him 2 hours beforehand.
That's wild. With like by Wheeler Walker Jr. or by somebody else?
By Bert or by Segura. Both of them were like, oh, we should tell Josh about that or something. Josh Potter, we should talk to him about that. I don't know why, but I thought if now's the time for you to come out of the closet a little bit, let's do it.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what the connection is at all. I wish I could pause. I'm flattered that I've been put into the same sentence as Wheeler Walker Jr. and his songs about blowjobs, but yeah. I don't know.
I wonder where
I could get. I mean, if it's about like giving dudes head or something like that, or
I don't know. I mean, it's weird because, you know, I tend to have a certain methodology with how I research people.
Sure.
And I just first thing I do is I type their name in on YouTube and the word interview and watch the most recent shit. And the first two ones I picked, that's what happened. I'm like, this is weird. It's fucking weird.
I guess I'm enough.
That flow job. What? That's what I did. I just cut out the middleman. I just
put a Josh Potter blowjobs and see what comes up.
I'm enough in the Marvel universe of them, I suppose, that maybe I just come up when the word blowjob is mentioned alongside with their name.
That's very, very possible. Which also leads me to something coincidentally that I had heard about you that I'd love you to elaborate on, which there was a nickname for a while that you're like a human cockroach. And I think even your show at one point you were going to call like Roach Motel or something, right?
I was the Roach Motel. Yeah. I had to change it.
Right. So there's a couple of reasons why they put this into your category of you being a cockroach. One, which I find fascinating. You can go days without eating. You don't think about it.
Jesus.
Yeah. I forget to eat a lot of the time and I hate eating. I think it's like this. I like going to restaurants. I like the event of eating a meal if it's special occasion, but I hate the idea of like, oh, we have to eat just like constantly, like three times a day, or these people that like graze, you know what I'm saying? Like they're just eating chips constantly, or, you know, you're in a green room and someone sees like a tray of vegetables come out and it's like they've not eaten for 500 years. The way they act when they see the free food at the craft services, it's like, you are a rich person, why are you stuffing your bag full of cookies right now? You know what I mean? Like that kind of mentality.
But so are you more opposed to the gluttony, or do you actually yourself will just not eat sometimes? Like does that
I don't eat some days at all. Like that's I know you used to work in radio, Ralph, so maybe you've seen this too, but like when they used to like bring free pizza by the studio, the people like would turn into Lord of the Flies over pizza. And you were like, this is pizza. Can I have money instead of pizza? Can I have a livable wage instead of the free pizza that comes in once a day?
What's the last thing you ate? Did you eat today yet?
It was 2003.
The last time I ate was lunch yesterday.
You're in California right now. It's a little early, right?
Right. Yeah, it's right now. So it's 11 a.m. or whatever here.
But so you're talking about nearly 24 hours with no food.
Oh, yeah, that's not a rare thing either. I'll eat like a snake, like one meal a day, and that's it.
And is it a gorging meal, or is it a soup and a salad, and that's it?
That's my ideal. Is probably a soup and a salad. Honest to God, like or a sandwich of some kind. I like a good sandwich, maybe a burrito, but that's it. Just one. It's not necessarily overly gluttonous. I hate the feeling of being full too. Like, too full. You know, that engorged feeling. Okay. I like the feeling of being hungry. The feeling of being hungry makes me like.
I hate that feeling.
I don't know what it is.
I call myself names when I'm hungry. I'm worse than the Snickers commercial. I'll look in the mirror and be like, you ain't shit. So let's do a hypothetical. You get taken out by some suits. They want to wine and dine you. They take you to a nice steakhouse. Do you indulge? What do you order? Or do you just go, hi, I'd like a piece of kale and a milk?
No, that's where I eat. See, that's the thing. That's like, so I'll know that one's coming down the pipe. You know, I'll look at the calendar. I'll say, oh, I got this suit meal on Thursday. But on Wednesday, I'm not like...
I just would like to say that
a bunch leading up to it. You know what I'm saying?
I really enjoy that James is so unaware of what healthy eating is that his idea was a piece of kale. No one would ever order a piece of kale.
I don't think this is necessarily health. I think that the dude just don't like food. And so it's just, I don't want much in me. I want to be free.
Okay. I don't know. I get it.
I'll eat a whole fucking steak right now.
As a single man, and it's very well documented on the show, taking chicks out for dinner is the only way I get laid. That's my like Jay needs to make a girl watch him on stage performing. That's his superpower, I guess you'd call it. But for me, taking a girl out to a fucking cool restaurant and having a great meal is how I seduce women. That's what works for me. So I can't imagine not eating. It just, it is what it is.
I like going out to dinner for, if I like going to nice restaurants, I love restaurants, but again, I don't need to do this whole, like, it's 11 a.m. and I haven't even had a Pop-Tart yet or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference to me then.
Right. Because the idea that, you know, you're not going to starve to death. We all, right. It's not going to happen to humanity. We're all fine. You could go days without eating. You just can't go days without drinking water. But I get it. And you, I guess somehow your brain is wired to embrace the hunger.
Yeah, I like it. And like I said, I like having the idea of like, oh, this meal is an event. Thanksgiving, I'll go crazy like the next guy. But like, I'm not eating 2 days after that. You know, I'll eat some leftovers here or there. That's but fun. It's like, it's like a snake. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. One meal in my
which,
body.
Which, by the way, I don't know how that became associated with a cockroach, because I don't think cockroaches store food. Snake would make more sense. That's what
I don't
say.
Know. It was more the other aspects, probably. I think it's because I live off of. It looks to, or it looked at least to Tom and Christina, that I lived off of Red Bulls and cigarettes as opposed to food. You know what I'm saying?
So, I gotcha. And then this transition is what I was saying at the top of the show. But apparently you cannot get an orgasm unless you play with yourself. It's never happened.
Yes, it's called delayed ejaculation. I don't know if anyone in your camp has ever heard of it. Apparently it's an 8% of males.
Wow.
It's where you can, you know, get your dick going. It's hard. It stays hard. It just can't have any punctuation at the end.
Unless
you
jerk yourself off, though.
Yeah, yeah. And so, it's almost like I got to, like, turn away. It's like a urinal situation. You know, when you can't piss at the urinal, but you got to piss super bad. It's like, I'll look away, you know, and I have
some questions about it, if you don't mind.
Please, yes.
Number one, can a girl jerk you off and you'll come, or that won't work either?
No, it's like I can have a girl like help me, but it's not it's just done by me, really. Usually okay. I've had through experimentation since this was all publicly put out there. I found some ways, but it takes a lot of effort.
All the mainstream media blogs talking about it is what you're saying.
I've had some experimentation, you know, and every experiment, though not successful, was always peeling a new page of the onion away, I guess, or a layer of the onion away. And I've found some ways to make it happen, but it takes quite a bit of effort on the woman's part in a lot of capacity. But I do, you know, some girls love it. You know, they have their fun, and then they
are you able to go as long as your cardio strength will allow?
Exactly. Yes.
So that's
that's diminishing as I get older.
Yeah. But now, so here's some other questions about it. Have you abstained for a long amount of time, even from masturbating, to see if sex will actually work then and make sure it's just not some random chick, a girl that you're actually like, wow, I'm really into this girl. I haven't had sex in 2 weeks or a month or whatever it is, or in Shannon's case, 5 years, I think it is at this point. But and then the
what, 4 years.
Imagine, 4 years, sorry, Shannon. So then I would imagine, just like any guy who hasn't had sex for a while, hasn't jerked off in a while, it's usually way easier to get to the climax. Did you do that?
Well, that's a multi-pronged question. I'll say that I have abstained prior to sex, but it wasn't with a person of which I had any sort of feelings beyond, I want to fuck this person. Do you know what I'm saying?
But I want to fuck this person is better than I want to fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I was equating it to I want to fuck.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like the person was obsolete. It was the person, you know,
right.
I have not experienced, I think that's kind of has something to do with it, where it's like, I have to develop a connection to the person beyond the physical realm, which is such a snooze. Yeah. What a bore. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, who wants to do that? Yeah. I wish I could just nut like every other guy. Like Tom bought me a hooker in Amsterdam, and I realized that prostitution is like not at all for me. I barely even got hard for that because of the fact that, you know, I mean, she's paid to be there. She was like, I think I caught her like looking out the window at one point, you know.
Oh my god.
It was just like and
emails.
Yeah, I need the
at
woman
point, she do this with you, like, all right, let's wrap it up.
I caught her looking at the clock, you know. But it's just like one of those things where I need like the woman to give a fuck about me at the very least, even if it's a one night stand where I'm at a show and she wants to fuck me and I know nothing about her and we have zero connection other than this woman wants to fuck me and I have low self-esteem. So I'm going to be like, yeah, let's go. But I think that if I developed a connection with a person, it could find out some other things, but she'd also have to be game for some gnarly stuff, which is tough to do when you're like dating a woman. You know what I mean?
Right. I think I'm going to fuck up the wording, but I believe it's sapiosexual. I could be wrong. Where they say that you need to be feel a connection before you could just have sex
with your brain or some shit.
Yeah,
right?
With your brain. Like, you not just want to, like, I can easily have sex with someone I'm not attracted and not mentally connected to. In some ways, it makes it better, in my opinion, but we're all wired differently. And so I get that there are people that need to have that mental connection. So what I'm saying is that it would be interesting to see if you did that test of abstain from sex and find someone you genuinely have a connection to and then see, because maybe you're just a sweet boy that wants to be, you know, connected with someone.
Yeah, I would hope that would be the case. And I haven't been able to do both those practices at the same time, just one side of the coin, not the other. But it was sure fun, you know, trying with some of those randos out there. That was
here's the thing. I just realized Shannon hasn't had sex in 4 years. She's a pretty girl. Shannon likes comedians. Maybe we can make a love connection right here on the show.
But Shannon doesn't want me to be the one to break that seal if I'm a person also going into a thing, you know, after it would take another 5 years of connection, I'm sure, to her 4 years. I'm sorry. Unravel that piece of yarn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, with how difficult the both of us are, we would probably just binge watch a whole bunch of series together. That would be it.
Then look how much you'd get accomplished.
Oh my God. That sounds like a connection already.
And then one thing, by the way, and last thing I'm going to say on this topic, that as I watched this thing about, you know, is Josh Potter a human cockroach? The one I do all the time. And not only was I mad that they shit on you for this, it's been proven to be good for you.
Cold shower.
Take a normal hot shower, but at the end of your shower, as long as you can stand the cold, take a cold shower. You will notice it does wonders for you. It is very good for you. And I can't believe they shit on you for that.
Yeah, somebody posted on that video one time or DM'd me or something. They were like, oh, so you do intermittent fasting, cold showers, and I forget what the other thing was, but that or the other way they spun the smoking and Red Bull. But basically they were like, you're like Joe Rogan.
That's funny. Yeah, pretty true. That is because you are basically intermittent fasting. I get it. That's pretty true.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go any further, if you're an auto mechanic, maybe a super cool do-it-yourself guy or some dude that just likes to work on his own cars, I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts at rockauto.com. They've been in business for 20 years. They make it easy for you to find all the parts you need at the best possible prices. No talking to counter guys who need to order parts or aren't even sure what you're looking for. No hassles. Just go straight to rockauto.com. Don't worry if there's going to be any storefront markups. There won't be because you're going direct to rockauto.com. So whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just someone working on their own car, head on over and you all have the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. Maybe you just want to go take a look. You never know. You might find something that you just like. You might just enjoy perusing the parts, as the kids say. Do the kids still say peruse? I don't know. You don't even need a promo code. That's how confident they are that their prices are awesome. So go to rockauto.com and tell them you heard about them on the SDR show. Let's get back into it. All right. So now you and I both are radio dudes, right?
Right.
Did you do it for like almost 2 decades? Is that right? Is that what I
heard? Yeah, I started when I was like 16 and I did it right up until I moved to LA when I was 31. And I did it in Buffalo. I was like the third guy on morning shows for my entire career.
So you
never
were
had my own show.
You were the morning guy it's usually Wacky and the Jizz or whatever. And then there's always the guy that makes the color commentary as well. You don't like that name?
Yeah, like the third
David
guy.
The actual funny guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was lucky. I worked with two guys that are really funny, but I was like, I grew up, I was like a teenager. I was like a stunt boy. And then I had to eventually I got old enough where I was like, I don't want to do this fucking horse shit anymore. So I started writing bits. And I tried to prove my worth that way. And that worked out. But yeah, that I worked with the same guys for pretty much my whole career, except for there was like an 8-month span I did sports talk radio, and they hired me to write bits for it. And then I would write bits and I would do them, and they would go, "You're taking away from the legitimacy of our sports station." And I was like, "Well, what the fuck am I supposed to do over here?" So they didn't know what to do with me. And I eventually just, I was like Don Draper. I didn't sign contracts. So I just bailed after 8 months.
And that was your last radio gig, was moving to the sports thing, and you stopped that?
No, I went, I actually went back to the show I worked on when I started in like a different capacity, different producer capacity. And then I finished with them. So I was with them for like 15 years, and I did like the 16th year with the station in Cleveland.
That's what, wait, so
in the middle Buffalo, somewhere.
But the first one was Buffalo, right?
Yeah. Buffalo to Cleveland, back to Buffalo, real lateral moves there, you know, market wise.
Yeah. That was my biggest problem in radio, was I never wanted to move. Like I was a couple of times offered morning radio or various shifts around the country, and I just didn't want to do it. I would rather, I did my once a week show that was on syndicated nationally, and I got to stay home and do it. And so I was offered a morning show once somewhere. And that's actually where SDR show came from. The logo, the website, everything was because I was being offered a morning show. So I conceptualized, it's a great idea. I don't know if I ever talked about it on the show, maybe I have, but the idea was to go out at night, party all night, and then whoever was left with me would come do the morning show at 6 a.m. Oh, and I figured, man, I could do it for like a year and just tell stories about whatever the fuck happened that night. And I think it would have been a wild thing for a year to get some notoriety, was my idea. But then when they showed me what they were offering us, such little money, I never did it. But I kept the logo, kept the website. And a few years later, when Jay and I started the podcast, I said, here's what we'll call it. And that's how it came about.
My first couple of years in radio, like full time, I was still in school. Like the first year I was in high school, but then the summer between high school and college was like a melee. Obviously, that's like all your friends are going out of town and everything. It's your last hurrah. So I was just like, fuck it. And I would go out and party, and then I'd go straight into work. So I basically did that show, but I tried to do it to the degree where nobody around me would notice. Oh, they noticed. There'd be times they'd come in though, and I'd be like asleep at my desk, and they'd be like, oh, Josh is smells like vermouth, for Christ's sake. He's like leaking booze. You know what I mean? I'd smell like a dirty martini or something. And they would be like, oh my God, have a long one last night. You know, they wake me up at my desk or whatever. So I did that for like 3 years all through college until I dropped out and I got tired. I was like, I'm just going to stop.
Did you try and make yourself like your own shift, like become a morning, like an afternoon or a follow up to the morning show?
Well, consolidation was such a thing where by the end of it, I was the morning show third mic, the associate producer, the imaging director, the assistant production director, and the night DJ. So, I mean, I was voice tracking nights at the end. I would have to come in and do it live sometimes, but I was doing comedy too. So there was like this weird thing. They would let me go do road gigs without taking vacation time because they were paying me so little. They felt like, oh, we got to get as much work out of this guy as we can. But they would get mad when I would promote local gigs while I was supposedly on the air during voice tracking. Yeah. So it was this weird balance.
That's weird. I get it though. But then, so this is years ago when there was a lot less regulations in radio, and you said somewhere that you nearly killed 5 different listeners for their various ridiculous contests.
Oh yeah. I mean, this was before the Wii for Wii stuff, you know, that put an end to all of it. Right. I mean, that was the Janet Jackson's nipple slip.
I can see James doesn't know what you're talking about.
I don't know Wii for Wii. I think we should probably explain for people who are just as confused as me.
It's a very famous incident, but go ahead, Josh.
Oh, it's, I guess it was, I forget if it was in Seattle or Portland or one of the Northwest markets there. The Wii had come out, and you know, you get a new prize. We got to do a giveaway, try to get a nice time spent listening contest in there. So what better way to have people listen for a long time than do a contest where people have to hold their piss the entire show, and you're making them drink. We used to do it too. Actually, we did a version of it called Don't Break the Seal. And it was with the title sponsors, was Tim Hortons coffee. And we would make them drink Tim Hortons coffee, and whoever pissed in the bucket that they were standing in first would be eliminated, and so on and so forth. This particular contest was Wii for Wii. They did it with water, And a woman drank so much water, evidently, that she internally drowned herself. It was something we all learned in real time that you can just drown yourself through drinking water, evidently.
And Mia died, and millions of dollars went to her family. Yeah.
This woman doesn't exist anymore, just so she could work out while playing tennis.
Yeah.
Like a video game. Like being fucking goddamn Andre Agassi with a video game to lose weight. She drowns. It's like, what, 250?
I mean, this was the time, too. I mean, people would do
what the
ridiculous shit. And it was on the radio. This wasn't like hands on television.
Or hands on a hot rod or something. That way whoever left the hand off the car didn't get it. You know, that was the era of all those dumb shit. Just like to this day, James, how fucking hacky radio is. They're still doing like Two for Tuesdays and Mandatory Metallica. And
I hosted Mandatory Metallica for over a decade.
Yeah, I mean, none of them have changed. They're still doing like Rocktober. It's literally, I left that business 6 years ago. And I would say at my time, I can't believe this is still going on, but nothing has changed in radio. Nothing.
There are charlatans or snake oil salesmen that call themselves consultants that basically just go around taking good ideas and then making other radio stations do them in their city. So you never know when it's an original one or if it's a fucking consultant idea that was stolen from another market someplace.
McVay Media, which was like the biggest consulting company.
Oh, yeah. I worked with those guys.
Yeah, motherfuckers. So those guys were motherfuckers.
Ralph Cipolla stole a bunch of our ideas.
They were motherfuckers, man. They actually, we would have meetings about, and I'm sorry to go so inside baseball on this, but I don't get to talk to radio guys often.
Yeah.
But they were like about what type of song should come out of a commercial break. Should it be a hit? Because that way you gain back listeners. Or should it be like an obscure song to reward the people that waited through the commercial break? And there would be hours of consulting meetings for a question like that. It was insane.
Oh my God. And then there would be the different clock theories that they would have. Yeah,
when you take your mic breaks, and it's just fucking insane. James, it was insane.
Those dudes, while they're overthinking and doing that, should be forced to keep drinking water. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And also, are you trying to tell me that I'm growing up in Vegas, that my local station didn't invent Zeptember? That
They stole that from someone else, James.
This is why I'm perfect to be on the show, and also will die alone. I in high school, all 4 years, every September and every October, refused to write September, October on my papers because of the local rock station.
Oh my God.
I wrote September and Rocktober. Those are my first two goddamn months with new teachers. And they're like, who is this mentally ill kid?
Well, I think they knew that before September. I'll tell you that.
September.
Yeah. I hosted Mandatory Metallica every night at 10 o'clock. And so everyone just assumed I was this. And I like Metallica just fine. Don't get me wrong. But everyone was like, oh, you're the Metallica guy. And then they would like hear about Mandatory Metallica on the internet from someone. They thought like, this guy's stealing from you. I'm like, I didn't invade. It was long before I existed. Yeah. It'll be there long after as well.
Is it the thing that I've also learned really extremely well in radio, but transferred over to podcasting, is that people really just fucking believe what you tell them. You know, it's crazy how you control the narrative based on what you say, and they just believe it to be true. It's fucking wild. It really is wild. And whenever people think they know what's going on and they talk about it on the Reddits or the Facebooks or whatever it is, they're never fucking right. Never once are they right about why someone did something.
Exactly. 100%.
It's amazing to me. It really is wild.
But we would have contests that people would do the Wii for Wii was almost like a terrible, tragic accident. Obviously, no one expected that to be a thing. Like when you go in, we did contests, though, that people could have just been absolutely hurt. You know what I mean? Like we had people swimming in the Niagara River. I mean, I'm not a lifeguard, and it wasn't like we had like professionals on standby.
That's
This is for like Motley Crue tickets. This is not for anything. You know, it wasn't even backstage passes. It was like Motley Crue tickets that they give to the radio station,
like
for
long sheets that are like 10 bucks a piece. Ridiculous.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, I'm going to ask you both this, and Shannon, I'm going to ask you this too. Have you guys watched Pam and Tommy or no?
I'm about four episodes in. It's one of those things. I took a break. I love and hate it at the same time. It makes, I was really nostalgic for those years anyway. And so it was something about that. And I went and saw Jackass. So I was really having that moment, but it's also fucking kind of stupid, but
it is
awesome
stupid.
At the same time. Does that make any sense?
I agree with you. That's exactly how I feel. But Josh, have you watched it or no, Josh?
I haven't started watching it, but I was at the Comedy Store the other night and someone gave me like this glowing review about it in terms of, it's kind of what you're saying where you're like, it's just stupid, but it's fun. I know Adam Ray, he plays Jay Leno in it, which I think is hilarious because I asked him, I was like, hey, did Jay Leno get pissed at you because he wasn't asked to play Jay Leno? like I just imagine Jay Leno is out there somewhere going like, I could have fucking done that, man. You know,
what really bothered me about it, and it's just a weird analysis, is that, you know, this whole thing is about a tape getting stolen from them against their will and how they handled it, you know, and that they were forced to watch other people benefit and profit from something that they didn't endorse doing. Right.
Right.
That's what this is. They didn't want this to come out, this movie. Neither one of them did any fucking press on it. Lily James reached out to Pam Anderson. She never returned her call. Tommy Lee wanted nothing to do with it either. They're just fucking them again. It's a very weird, it'd be different if they were on board. I find it hard to watch because like you're saying how terrible these people were for doing this to them, and you are doing it to them again. It's fucking weird.
That was the irony of that Britney Spears documentary that raised such ire about her conservatorship, right? Like, it was like, she's not signing off on this documentary either, right? So isn't this documentary...
But then I think the doc did get the point that got her released from the conservatorship. So I guess it did have a positive ending. Right?
I guess, I mean, it definitely got people on her side that maybe didn't know that this was going on in her life. But I don't know if it, you know, in the court of law, if it had anything to do.
No, but I just think it rallied people, just like I think it all started with the podcast. That podcast, Free Britney podcast, is what launched all of that. And it made people aware of that crazy conservatorship. And now she won. But I don't see an end game here that works for Pam and Tommy.
I'll tell you what the end game is. Right.
What's that?
They made it. Without their consent, a story about them not giving consent. Now we write a story about the story. We need to make a series about this being the series. We're going to go fucking real met up on this shit.
A series about documentaries that people didn't have permission to do, or just specifically on Pam and Tommy.
No, I'm going to cast people trying to reach out. There's going to be people, Pam and Tommy. Calling actors who are playing the actors who played Pam and Tommy, trying to get a hold of Pam and Tommy. Everyone's getting work. Everyone in the whole goddamn city.
There's a scene, if you did, I'm not giving anything away because it was also in the book, where Tommy talks to his penis and his penis is talking back with opening the hole. And it's that guy. I love the guy, the Greek guy with the long last name. Fuck. He was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's just a creep. Shannon, do you know the guy's name? Maybe she, I don't know if she's there, but
hold on, I'm looking it up.
It's like, he just has he's also in Big Mouth and God damn it. I can't think.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of
a crazy long Greek name. It's that guy.
Yeah.
His very funny voice. Josh or
Jason Matsoukas.
That's right. Matsoukas, yeah.
And he's the voice of the penis. It's fucking, it's weird. You know, the whole thing is weird. I feel bad. As I'm watching it makes me feel bad for them. Because they know how they didn't want to have anything to do with this. It's just fucking weird.
I'm into these whole 90s like reenactments of events. Like I love the whole OJ versus America thing with Cuba and John Travolta and everything like that. I haven't watched the entire thing of the Gucci.
I heard
story.
That was great. I also heard the Versace Mansion one.
Yeah, that's what I meant. But I haven't finished it, but it's been fantastic so far. So, I mean, make more of this shit. Let's see one of these about Jenny Jones and the gay guy that killed someone on her show or something like that.
We've had Rude Jude on our show a bunch of times. I've done his show. He was a part of that while that happened. It's pretty crazy.
Have you seen Winning Time yet? I know not a chance Ralph has, but dude, so Ralph, it's about the Lakers, and I read the book years ago.
Lost me already.
Okay, but it's fun, and it's Adam McKay, and John C. Reilly plays the owner, and it is fourth wall breaking, stylistic. But what you're saying about like feeling bad for Pam and Tommy, I feel horrible for Jerry West in this show looks like the biggest degenerate piece of shit ever, and I heard he wasn't a great guy, but it's crazy with these shows, the liberties they take, and you just like, okay, because you have to make it entertaining.
And then you do like going back to what I said, people just believe what you tell them, so they watch the Pam and Tommy, they watch this, and they just, oh, that's what actually happened.
Yeah,
when it most likely is not what happened.
This Winning Time show, though, is it's Adam McKay. So it's shot and it's very like Adam McKay really has like one note, I guess, you know.
Yes.
Like it's shot like ever seen that show or movie Vice where it's all about Chaney or the Big Short. It's just like that. It's like shot like flash and like they have words on the screen. And
isn't this the show that ruined his relationship with Will Ferrell? Isn't that
that's the thing? Other thing? Yeah, that's like Will Ferrell wanted to play
Jerry Buss, I think.
Jerry Buss. And it's like Will Ferrell looks nothing. I mean, Jerry Buss is like a short guy. John C. Reilly is like perfect for it.
I'm going to go with him for Halloween. I can't wait. Great. I got to find a Magic Johnson to hang out with. I got to find
that's right.
I'm recruiting.
I did enjoy the Jordan doc. I watched that. Do you give me some credit for that?
Greatest thing ever.
I think you'd like this show. You don't have to like it. It's really like there's not it's not like they're playing basketball in the show. You know,
the Lakers are a basketball team. Got it.
Yes. What if Ralph? What if you tuned in? It was 2 minutes of drama and 58 minutes of basketball. Like basketball. They duped me on this shit. It actually is basketball.
All right. Before we go any further, want to tell you about one of our longtime sponsors. All you need to know is this: it's home of the $60 kilo. You know the prices might be going up all over the country, but if you are a fan of Kratom and you want high quality curated Kratom delivered directly to you, there's nowhere else to go. But YoKratom.com, they have tons of unique strains. They even have blends that are custom blends available only on their website. It's YoKratom.com. Their prices have not budged. They stick strong at $60 a kilo. $60 kilos all day long at YoKratom.com. So head to YoKratom.com if you are a fan of Kratom. If you're not a fan of Kratom, you probably don't even need to listen to this. But if you're looking for really good quality Kratom where you think, I'm not going to go to the gas station. I'm not going to go to the local bodega. I don't know how long that shit's been sitting there. I want a wholesale, direct to me, good quality Kratom. There's nowhere else to go but YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. And then also, I noticed that you are a three-time champion for Are You Garbage? They're friends of the show. They've been
on. Oh, yeah.
So you are true human garbage? Are you proud of that?
I was told that I am the sensei of garbage is okay. What I was dubbed, which is a true honor. I mean,
I'm the one on the other side. I did it. They said I was the least garbage person they ever had
amazing.
On the show.
I was so wondering if they've ever had a classy person on.
And yeah, we're yin
I could
and yang
see that.
There. Yeah, they wanted me to be. I'm garbage in ways that they don't quantify garbage.
Right. You think you're garbage, but you are on such upper crust where
you're
like, oh, I used the wrong fork or whatever.
No. I'm garbage. And like, I date women way too young for me. I hit on them like creepily. That's garbage. You know, like that
show.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works. But it's garbage.
That's class, my man. That's class all the way.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
You're Howard Hughes or whatever. I don't even name it. You know,
I think that their quantum, like what they deem fancy is not what I would consider what quantifies whether or not you're garbage or not. You know what I mean?
I see. Yeah, sure.
And I think I am garbage in a lot of ways. That's
I just exist. And evidently I've created a whirlwind of garbage.
The garbage thing that I heard you did that is fucking garbage is when you worked in radio, you would gift all the fucking shit that you got as gifts, or maybe it was on the podcast. You get like a sponsorship to send you shit.
Oh, yeah,
you just gift them to people. That's fucking garbage.
That wasn't in radio. In radio, I never got anything of worth it. If I did it in radio, it would be like, I might as well just go to Sunoco and pick something up at the store. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in podcasting, I had Aura Frames and they sent me like five of them. So I just gave here's a Christmas gift for mom. Here's one for my aunt.
That's pretty garbage. That's pretty fucking garbage.
Yeah, well, you know, what am I going to do with all these frames?
You know, it's the cards you're dealt, baby. It's the tools that are given, and you use them.
But I mean, here's the thing: I would be fine with it if you were honest about it. If you
they don't know what I do for a living.
Right?
They don't understand. They have no understanding of my life and how I even have money. They're like, what? You tell jokes. They don't know what's going on. They think podcasts are radio still. They don't know.
Right.
Radio on the internet. That's what he does.
Do you still talk to any of your old school radio guys? Are they still doing radio?
The show that I used to work on still exists. They moved them to the classic rock station now.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys, I mean, they always signed big, I mean, for Buffalo, big contracts, and they were always successful and always evolving. And I was always really impressed with them, and they're managing to hold on, and it's getting harder and harder.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was trying to remember.
I'm so glad I got out, you know.
My show, I had a radio show called The Tour Bus. We were on about 100 stations, and we were on in Buffalo for a while. I just can't remember the call letters because it's so fucking long ago.
It was called The Tour Bus? Was it on WBUF?
That sounds right.
What years was it?
It was on from 99 to 2015, but it grew, you know, the years that it was living the largest was like 2004 to 2010, those 6 years.
Yeah, it was probably BUF when they switched over to rock.
And we played mostly like, you know, like you said, Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and shit like that. But we were, you know, it was amazing what I got to watch in real time, how radio stopped mattering, because I would be treated like a king 1 year. And then 2 or 3 years later, there was 7 podcasts in front of me, you know, before they would even get to me to give me anything.
I got in at, in 2004 is when I started as an intern, and I saw so many employees with different positions. And then by the time I started getting jobs in it, I had all that, like, I started scooping up all their jobs without getting any pay raise.
Right. That's big. I mean,
that's
one of
when I started noticing.
My
too.
Former co-host is in Pennsylvania. She does mornings, but she also puts together the fucking syndicated shows, like in post, and does all the VOs and does all the fucking, you know, traffic dealing with that shit. It's crazy. She deals with so much shit and they don't pay extra. It's awful. Nope. Anyway, to move to a more fascinating topic, and I apologize. I just got, I could talk radio for whenever.
Me too, dude. It's,
I just find it so fascinating. You know, like when I did Anthony Cumia's show a few years ago, the first time, as soon as the show was done, we sat and talked radio for like 2 hours because it was such a fascinating time. And the fact that it was live and only lived once, people don't realize how crazy that was. Something
that's what I, dude, I miss that aspect more than I miss any of it. Like I miss being able to do a broadcast and you have people that stumble upon it. That'll never happen with podcasts. Right. People have to actively click on it and nobody's passively listening to a podcast. You know what I mean? Or just coming across the middle of it, of a conversation. That was always the best part.
That's a funny idea. There's no way you just launch a podcast and just put it in like 45 minutes in and say, whoops, let's see what happened here. But, so this part I find fascinating. And I saw a picture and it did make me a little nauseous. So I apologize in advance, but apparently you are idiotically hairy, but just in the front half, not in the back half.
Wow.
And you made crazy money selling your shoulder hair for porn, like shoulder hair porn.
Oh yeah. I did shirtless cameos and I just made it out like, I went into a pandemic saying that I was going to become a sex worker. And so I offered up shoulder hair porn. I used, and this is like kind of the way that it started was I had no desire to do cameo, none. Okay. And the cameo people were up my ass, do cameo. So then pandemic happened and I go, maybe I should entertain this, but I don't want to just go on there and be like happy birthday or whatever. So I thought I would do shoulder hair porn like it was my OnlyFans, you know. And I would do you know, customs, right? And I thought for sure cameo would kick me off, but then all of a sudden they were like, no, this is great, we love this, keep going. And they were like into it, and I was like, oh shit, what have I done? And
Is shoulder hair porn a thing, or you created this thing?
This is me, baby. I created all of it.
Okay, there's no other competitors in the world of shoulder hair porn.
I haven't come across any.
There it
is.
Lord.
Yeah, those are the shoulders. There's probably worse pictures out there. But
I mean,
that
I can't imagine
there
being worse than that.
No, I mean, pictures, I meant not shoulders, probably. But so I just thought, you know, I did shoulder hair porn. It was like, you know, kind of like a JOI, if you will, with my hair. And I raised the price to $100 at one point. It started at $25, and I go, this is too low. There's too many. Then I raised it to 50 and still I had too many. And then I made it 100 and I was like, I can't believe how many are paying $100.
Now, do you get to know if it's the gender of the person doing this or you don't?
Oh yeah. And none of them ever were like legit jerking off to it. You know what I'm saying? It was always like, they all got the joke, but it was still crazy to me how many people. Unless one slipped through the class. I mean, I did one for Corey Taylor. I did one. They're famous people.
Oh, my God.
Buying. Like, It was nuts.
I think if they really got the joke, would they be spending the $100? I think they didn't 100% get it, the joke. I don't know. It just seems like.
I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of people. Like I said, Corey Taylor got one as a present. And who else? A couple porn stars bought them because they for their friends or whoever the hell. But
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was more like a, what do you call it? Like a porn bomb, you know, like a glitter bomb of porn you send to somebody that you. But I started getting so sick of it. I mean, I became like a real one trick pony. Then I said I pulled a Shawn Michaels. I was like, I lost my smile. I can't do it anymore.
Well, how jaded are you when you can't do $100 shoulder porn anymore? It's like,
you know, those,
get the cameras off me. I can't.
We've all seen those adult entertainers who get such a put, they get burned out and then they're just, I'm out of the game. Now I'm a, you know, a club DJ or whatever. I don't know.
Oh my God. Just one more time for the cameras. No.
So great.
And then, which I don't know how this could have ended well. You nared your whole body. That had to be a fucking shit show when it grew back.
That was back in the day. That was when I went to spring break 2007 in college. I thought, you know, I'm going to the beach, so I got to like nair up. I thought that would just be quicker and easier than shaving. And it was just a disaster. It hurt. It was. And then, you know, wearing textiles on your bare skin for the first time after having that much hair feels so foreign. It's like I couldn't even put a shirt on. It was like it was sticking to me. It was so weird.
You use the scientific term, not clothing, wearing textiles,
just any sort of. Yeah. But it was that and the salt water would hit me and it would be like, you know what I mean? It was.
If you meet a woman,
not good.
If you meet a lady,
when I got it. Sorry.
Sorry, if you meet a lady that doesn't know you from your shoulder porn, she just knows, let's say, your comedy, or she's aware of you, whatever, and you're about to get naked, are you self-conscious at all about it? Because it is a little weird.
Sure.
Or are you comfortable with it at this point?
I have grown comfortable with it at this point. Like, it is not a... Now, I'm lucky where most know that it's coming, but... When they didn't, I mean, they see my arms, they see like my stomach. I'll try it. I used to try and keep the shirt on for like as long as I can. I know obviously it's going to come off at some point. And then once it does, you know, you're already in, it's already happening. Nobody's ever been like, oh my Lord. And then the sex just ceases because.
Well, I thought maybe that's why you can't complete because they're running away once they see your shoulders. Do you ever feel the need to trim or you don't even bother?
Wow. I don't fucking care anymore. I mean, it is now it's part of my brand. It's like, and it really did came back. It really like, cause there was a while I was trimming the, trimming the shoulders or shaving them. And it really did like, you know, I know it's a wives tale or whatever, but it really did come back worse. It wasn't always like this. It was like normal or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
you think shaving it made it worse. I got
yes,
you.
I really I did.
I didn't know that was true. That's funny. And then the last thing I want to bring up that just made me laugh was during, at some point you lost your credit card or something and then you realized, oh, I am supporting 12 to 15 OnlyFans girls. And you were unaware that you had, you were paying for that many OnlyFans accounts.
Yeah. After COVID, I've been a real fucking mess when it comes to, adulting. I keep losing my debit cards, but yeah, that one instance I lost my debit card and I went on to OnlyFans and was like, this is about to expire. And it was so many accounts. I was like, oh, man, I needed to do a bit of an audit before I went back. And
are you supporting any OnlyFans ladies?
Oh,
at this
yeah,
point?
Of course. Always, there always, always. I consider myself a bit of a consultant when it comes to OnlyFans.
Nice. Are they usually women that you've met through your comedy or through the shows, or they're just women that you're fans of? And you're like, I'm going to go be a McVeigh media for this lady.
Well, that's a very good McVeigh media for this. There was a couple of women who before OnlyFans existed, I was like, there were women doing the premium Snapchats. Remember
that? Yeah. OnlyFans got rid of that, didn't they? Oh, they really.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So I just, you know, just a suggestion. I go, hey, if you ever do a premium Snapchat, let me know. And if you've never thought of it, I think you can make a great deal of money doing it, you know, based off your clientele. They're usually bartenders or hairdressers or something like that. And I got, you know, about four or five of them to do it. I never took a percentage or anything like that. And a couple of them have used me, you know, now that they've moved over to OnlyFans for stunt dick opportunities. So I consider that to be payment enough. I don't need
I'm
to
sorry,
take
I don't know what that is. What is stump
a stunt dick? You know, when
oh,
there's
stunt,
a
stunt. Stunt
yeah,
dick.
I was okay. going to say you definitely know.
I thought you said stump, S-T-U-M-P, and I was confused.
Oh, no.
Like you had some fucking bizarre deformity of a stumpy dick or something, and they bring you in for that.
No, I wish. I mean, my dick is about the most normal part of my body, I would say.
James, do you have a manicure tailoring routine to your body at all, or you just let it go as is?
Well, I mean, I shave my head every about 3-4 days and my beard. Okay. And then I like to keep these sons of bitches good. And when I do that, I feel recharged. I always have good shows when I do that because I'm a
psych. I do a lot. I'm fucking high maintenance. That's why they thought I wasn't garbage. I do.
That's why you're classy.
Yeah, that's why I'm classy. I do. Because also I'm the oldest one here. You do more as you get older to take care of yourself. You know, I trim
down there and stuff like that. But as far as the shoulders go, I'm just like,
that's funny that you make that difference. I'll trim my dick.
I definitely,
but I'm not gonna,
yeah. I'll do the balls. I'll do that part, but not, that's, no one's like sucking on your shoulders. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't you say that some girl wanted to fuck your shoulder?
Oh my God. Well, that is true. Yeah. There was a girl. I mean, that's, you know, post them becoming a bit of a level of fame, I guess, or whatever. This girl was like, I need to fuck those shoulders. I'm like, what are you talking about? This girl is a real savage. So she was in
Tampa
Bay. Did
she hump your shoulders?
No, she never made it to, she was too wasted to even like make it down the street. Fuck. So I can't believe what a gentleman I was, but I didn't.
Course, my shoulders, m'lady. That kind of
yes,
gentleman.
Of course, no. That I made sure she got home safe, as opposed to just leaving her on the sidewalk because she was such a mess. I don't like girls who get sloppy drunk. It is not a
no. I don't either. It's not only not a turnoff. It leads to a potential real problem.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that. Yeah, exactly.
For so many reasons. I remember once, I think I told the story on the show, but a girl came over drunk and we sort of flew around, but she was very obviously drunk. I said, why don't you just go to bed and we'll pick this up another day. And she slept next to me and I woke up in the middle of the night feeling a little cold. I'm like, why do I feel so cold? And it's because she had pissed the entire bed.
Oh, yeah.
And the mattress was wet cold and that's what woke me up. And she was completely unaware. And I woke her, I said, you just pissed everywhere. She went, oh, and went back to sleep. And I fucking threw out the mattress. God. I went in the other room and I threw out the mattress.
You know what that is, baby? Cost of doing business. That is the cost of doing motherfucking business.
But even if I would have known that, I would have fucked her at least.
I hope you rolled her up in it when you threw it out.
I really should have. And speaking of disgusting, last thing I saw when I Googled you, do you still live in your quote disgusting apartment? And
that is the worst piece of content I've ever made. It will forever haunt me. And I made it because during COVID, I got fucking depressed. There was no more shows. My tour was canceled. I was like a mess. I'm throwing beer cans around my room. I'm like, who gives a shit? I didn't clean one thing in my whole apartment for 4 months. Although I did clean my kitchen and my living room. Those things were immaculate. But my upstairs bathroom was fine. But I didn't clean my bathroom that was in my bedroom. I just stayed in my cave. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about that on Dr. Drew. And Tom was like, oh, can we come film it for content? And I was like, yeah, that'd be the best way for me to get it cleaned, you know, making it content or whatever. And now everyone just thinks I'm a fucking hoarder as opposed to like having gone through like the worst depression of my life. So I'm just like, that's the one piece of content. I'm like, I wish I got that thing fucking taken
off
the fucking internet.
Down somehow. It is the first thing
at this point. It's not a lot. I mean, he paid me I got paid for, you know what I mean? Like it's worth it. But at the same time, I'm just like
the first thing that shows up. It is.
Oh my God. I do morning radio. And they're like, hey, we saw your fucking gross apartment you fucking scumbag. And you know, like it's fucking, and then every interview it comes up, I'm just like, fuck. And then
it is a launching off point for sure.
I'm going to start blaming people or like shaming people and be like, have some stigmas against mental health. Is that it?
Yeah, you should. That's how you should roll with it. That's perfect.
That's a good move.
All right, we got to hit the first, Jen, and let's hit the first.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask every guest since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we mean the first concert you went to, ideally that we're going to know, but that you went on your own volition, like your parents didn't drag you, something you wanted to go to.
Yeah, my first ever concert, it was the best. I went to a Family Values tour in 2001, and how old would I have been? 15. And it was Dead Z, which became one of my favorite bands. That's Cher's kids, the lead singer.
He was cool for a while. That was a great first record.
Is that P. Exeter Blue? Yeah, it was P. His name was P. Exeter Blue in the band, though. That was they all had code names, and Commencement was the name of that album. It was
there
the
was
best.
A song on that album that I loved. I can't remember.
Keita Gramercy Park.
Probably, but I remember thinking they were so fucking cool, that band.
Yeah, they were like a synth band. They were awesome. Mm. So that was the first band. Then Static X, another one of my favorite bands of all time.
Great band.
And Linkin Park and Stained and Stone Temple Pilots, all of which were in
What's crazy is three of the four of those guys, at least one guy's dead.
Yeah. It's nuts. Three of the four, three of the four lead singers are dead,
That's nuts.
Yes, only right now it's only P. Exeter Blue and Aaron.
Aaron Lewis. Yeah, that's crazy. That's not a good selling point for a Family Values reunion tour.
I forget when the concert was, what time of year, but Linkin Park, I bought Hybrid Theory on 9/11 because my dad wanted me to stop watching TV. So he took me to the record store to buy a CD and a video game. And I bought Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory and I bought a video game where I could murder terrorists. That was
Jesus. All right. Now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed was not your first drug.
Yeah. Weed was my first drug. So what would the next drug have been? Well, actually, here's what's weird. Percocets was my first drug because of all my eye surgeries. That's what got me addicted to Percocets. So I was on those well before I smoked weed regularly. So I don't know. Does weed count then for this?
No, I guess so. But let me ask a question. As a drug neophyte, as we all know, would you say the feeling of a Percocet, which is that's not a muscle relaxer, that is a painkiller, right?
It's a barbiturate or whatever.
Very different than opioid. The feeling of a muscle relaxer.
Oh yeah, very different. I mean, there's similarities to it, but it's a body thing also. But it's basically synthetic heroin. It's
Mine, I feel the pain of my back, but I just don't care as much.
Yeah,
that
I get that.
Seems to be what that feeling is.
With the Percocet, sorry if you can hear that music. My neighbor is being an asshole in the driveway next door to my house here.
We don't hear
But I love Percocet. So it would be like I had eye surgery, so it was the pain of my eye but then after that, I was sleeping in a cloud. You know what I mean? It would just feel like you're sleeping with a bunch of angels kissing your whole body.
That sounds good to me.
Oh, it's the best.
I'm in for that. I'll do that.
You know, they say I'm going to do heroin someday because they say, it feels like a bazillion orgasms. So it's like I have to do that someday. If I make it to 75 years old and I'm in a home, I want to fucking do heroin. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, it'd be cool if you do it and you can't actually feel them because you can't have an orgasm unless
you're Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I had a doctor tell me one time that maybe I can't have an orgasm because I was so into Percocets.
Wow.
Really?
And that the feel, yeah, that's what they say. Sometimes people who are addicted to opioids have a hard time.
I would just,
it doesn't raise up to that feeling ever.
I would love you to not have sex for a month, not ejaculate for a month, and then find some girl that you're crazy into who's also into you and have sex with her. And I bet you.
I'd love that too.
Yeah, we should make that happen. That should be some girl with a hairy shoulders fetish. Let's get this fucking thing happening.
Oh yeah, let's rock and roll.
Yeah. And now the first time you had sex.
The first time I had sex was with a woman who I was actually dating for a little while. I was 22. I was a late bloomer, very late bloomer. I didn't have sex until I started doing comedy, even with radio. And it was a woman who actually knew me from the radio, saw me do a show. And we went out a couple of times and we had sex. And this is so wild because the first time I had sex, I did not come. And we were having the sex, having it. And she goes, "Did you finish yet?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And she got so pissed, dude. She was like, "You would fucking know." And she sighed and we kept going. And I was like, "Well, now I'm definitely not going to come." But that was the very first.
And coincidentally, that's what that escort said to you also. Did you finish yet? Because we're on a clock here and you need to wrap this up.
The escort and I mean, I didn't even get hard. We ended up just talking about I'm like, "So you're from Milan, huh?" And
she
was like,
God,
you know what I mean? It was it was the worst. Thank God it wasn't my money.
All right, so we are going to wrap this up right now. Josh underscore Potter on Instagram. The Josh Potter Show comes out every Tuesday on the YouTubes, if I'm not mistaken. Is that
you
right?
You are correct, sir.
And anything else you want to plug before we go around the room?
Not really. I'm going to have a bunch of shows coming up here in the summertime. So just go check out those places, and I'll have them all posted. Places like Chicago, Chicago, Philadelphia, Indianapolis. We'll have all those dates up there real soon. So,
and by the way, I think you should counter program and every week put out Josh Potter's Immaculate House and put that video out every week. And then eventually the SEO on that will take over from the garbage.
I'm in the process of moving at the moment, so my next apartment's going to be way cooler, and I can't wait to. Then I'll do videos from there every time. I'll be like, "See you, fucking."
You should do that. You should do that. Yeah. James, your plugs.
The James Madden on Instagram. New podcast that I'm doing. My boy Shuli, formerly of the Stern Show. Thanks for coming out. A podcast about bombing. The response has been great. It's just we talk to comedians about bombing stories. And on our Patreon, we break down videos of people bombing. And we break it down like we're fucking Monday Night Football. It's insane. So check that out. And please keep downloading the Check Spot album. And the video's coming by summer. And it looks really cool. So cool.
Awesome. Shannon, your plug, Shannon?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people come on, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, etc. And they tell their own stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
I got to say, Shannon, I like the red on you. I think it looks good. Like, is it, it's reddish, pinkish? What is that? Salmon-y? What color are you wearing?
I think it's a coral, but that's not how the camera is picking it up. Right. So yeah, it does look pinkish. Thank you.
I do like it. So now, Josh, we always ask people this. So Shannon's show, Ghosts, is a part of her show. Mm-hmm. And do not give an indication until all three of us chime in as to whether or not Josh believes in ghosts. I feel this is a difficult one. So James, what do you think?
Let me block him. I want to go in this blind. No poker. The dude does not believe. No.
All right, Shannon.
I'm also really torn.
I think it's a hard one.
Because it's like one or the other. It's either he's 100% doesn't, or he does and has had an experience. I'm going to say yes.
I want to say yes. That's my instinct, but I'm going with no. And then we'll see. Josh, what is it?
Well, I'll say this. It's not that I don't believe in ghosts. I'm open to the idea of them, of course. I have not had an experience. But then again, I barely can tell when another human being is in the room with my eyesight. So let alone, a translucent person or an orb or something, I would miss that. That would come by and I'd be like, huh? Like if someone was like, did you see that? I'd be like, no, I definitely.
So you're not against it, but you don't directly believe in them.
Right. I'm open to the idea of it, but I have never experienced it.
Are we calling
point.
This one a push, guys? Push. Are we saying a push? It's a push.
Yeah, the sports book pays us both.
We're fine. We're all out. Okay. We add a song of the week every week to the sdrshow.com/playlist. I feel because we talked about them so much, we got to throw in a Motley Crue song. Why not? Right?
Oh, hell yeah.
And you have a Motley a song that you're a fan of, Josh, we could add to the playlist?
Ooh, there's so many that I'm a fan of. Let's see. Which one would I want to go with? I would want to go with Dr. Feelgood, I guess.
All right, Dr. Feelgood, track of their 1989 album, I believe it was. And we'll add it to the playlist. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday called Good Sugar, the Good Sugar Podcast. We're opening up our first store on 3rd and 69th Street in Manhattan. I'm going to say right before summer.
My neighborhood, baby.
All right, we'll see you there. Hopefully daily, eating healthy, right? And that's it. Josh, thank you so much for being a part of it. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Peace.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.